You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We have another surprise episode for you today. This one features Philip, who is competing on Deal or No Deal Island. Philip is a person who stutters, and yeah, I have an interview with him here, and I'm just so excited about it because I think Philip hasn't really shared about his stutter too much since competing on the show. So a lot of this conversation is a first for Philip. So I really hope all of you enjoy it. Before we get into the interview with Philip, I just wanted to give you some reminders about some upcoming Proud Stutter events. Our next one is in Chicago on April 9th at 6:30 at Northwestern University. So if you know anyone in that area or if you yourself live in the area, please get your tickets today. Tickets are selling out super fast. This is a free event. And then we have two really exciting events happening in May. The first one is May 8th during Stuttering Awareness Week, and it is called Docs on Stuttering. So it's going to be featuring documentaries on stuttering, and that one is happening May 8th at 7 p.m. at the Smith Raphael Center in San Rafael, California. The next one is a Docs on Disability event, so documentaries featuring disability stories, and that's on May 15th at 7 p.m., also at the Smith Raphael Film Center, and both of those May events are partnership with California Film. Really excited about that. We don't have a link yet up for that, but definitely keep an eye out. And then I also wanted to lift up a crowdfunding campaign that we're launching, that we've actually already launched, and it's to cover one of the filmmakers who stutters travel and accommodations costs. We really want to get him to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of his film, The Way We Talk. So yeah, if you can head to the show notes to... We're almost at our goal. We're about halfway there. We're hoping to raise $600. So if you can donate $5, $20, all of that will help our filmmaker, Michael, be able to be in person to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of his film in San Rafael. So you can head over to our show notes to make your donation there. And, or you can go on proudstutter.org/donate. And the last thing I wanted to lift up, I know we have a lot of updates. One of my very good friends, Tyler, is doing a performance in Pasadena, California at the Lineage Performing Arts Center. So if you're in Pasadena, he's going to be doing a performance on March 29th and March 30th. Tyler is a artist who stutters, and he's going to be doing a solo show called Actions. Really encourage you all to check it out. You can also learn more and register at the link in our show notes. And so yeah, without further ado, I'm excited to share with you my interview with Philip, who is competing on this season of Deal or No Deal Island.
Thank you.
I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. My name is Maya Chupkov, and I have an amazing guest with me for this episode. We have Philip from Deal or No Deal Island, season 2. Philip, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for asking me to be here. It's so nice to be invited anywhere, honestly.
Yeah. So, for you guys listening that haven't been following the most recent episode of Deal or No Deal Island, definitely get on it. We may be having a few spoilers, but I'm going to try to keep this as spoiler free as possible. But if you do want to catch up on the episodes, please do, because we are going to be kind of diving into some of the season. But yeah, I'm a big reality TV fan, and I actually didn't watch Deal or No Deal Island until season 2 because I heard that Philip, who's a person who stutters, is going to be on it. So Philip, thank you for being on the show and being like just the representation on reality TV is so important. So thank you for like doing it. And yeah, I'd love it if you can talk about yourself and your background and how you got on the show.
Sure. So I was born on a cold day. So in coming from, I'm the first generation American from Caribbean immigrants. My parents come from the Caribbean islands of Guyana and Trinidad, and they moved to New York, and they had me, and I'm the first generation American. And so I did kind of all the things, kind of a nerd, kind of too outgoing for my own good. And we moved to suburban New Jersey when I was in second grade. And out of my like graduating class of about 800, I was only about 5 or 6 kids of color. And so not only did I kind of have that going for me, but I inherited a stutter from my dad's side of the family. My mom gave me good skin and my dad gave me this. So here we are. And so I did all the things. I spent all of elementary school getting pulled out of class for speech. I did it twice a week. I carried around the spiral notebook of words and phrases that gave me trouble, which to this day, I still don't know what that was supposed to do. But anyway, I did it. I did it. I had like the weekly check-ins and stuff like that. And it was hard. I think in elementary school in like the 90s, I'm about to sound real old. In elementary school in like the 90s, there was so much chatter around like what was wrong with you and how could we resolve it. And like mental health wasn't really an issue. And so I was always told from my speech teacher in elementary school, there, you have such a great energy and spirit and creativity. There are so many jobs that you can do where you don't have to speak. And I know that that was meant to be like a form of like comfort, but the person that I was, the person that I still am, is like challenge accepted. So after I got out of college, I graduated with 2 master's degrees by 22. I'm, again, kind of a nerd. So after I graduated, I went back to middle school to teach middle school English, which is scary, and being like, you're going to talk all day in front of 12-year-olds, the best / worst people you'll ever meet in your whole life. And you're like, they're so mean. And the thing is, I remember in my final interview, the superintendent said, you do realize that you don't speak like everyone else. Are you in any way scared about that? Because it would have been my like first big teaching job outside of school. And I said, yes, but also if I could expose kids to a different way of life, in seeing that there are people being successful and overcoming adversity, and not only just overcoming it, but accepting it as a way of life, as my path, my journey in the world, then I would have done my job as an educator. And he called me and gave me the job the next day. In school, I taught middle school English for 12 years. It was absolutely amazing. I had all the awards, all the accolades, all the everything. And then after I won the award for the 2020 New Jersey Teacher Who Makes Magic, that's a award for teachers that are giving back to not only the classroom, but the community and such. I said, what next? And all my coworkers said, chill till retirement. And I was like, for 30 years, you just want me to chill? And they were like, yeah. So I said I had to move on. And I moved out to Austin, Texas, to be a full-time personal trainer. And so I've now been doing that. I'm a fitness instructor. I am talking on the microphone 3 times a day, if not even more. And when I'm not doing that, I'm making motivational, inspirational fitness videos on Instagram and stuff like that. So everything I do is speech and talking at all times. And it is, you'll understand this, so fulfilling, but exhausting all day.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like being a podcast host, like this is my second interview of today. And then I have one right after this. And it's just like, it's exhausting to talk a lot. Cause like when you stutter, you're kind of like using a lot of energy to like talk and all that. So I totally can resonate with that. And your story is just so, like, it's so important because we need educators that can, like, promote diversity and can really be a good role model for kids. So that's incredible. And you talked about your fitness, you're being a fitness instructor. So I actually got a personal trainer almost a year ago now, and I've been working with him for almost a year, and it's life-changing. Totally. So yeah, so like I can't wait to like keep watching your fitness videos and all that stuff, because like it's so motivating to just keep doing it and investing in yourself and your health. So yeah.
So my journey there was pretty much the exact same. I didn't have a huge amount of friends in elementary school. So my new friends were carbohydrates. And I was severely overweight. And my senior year in high school, I looked in the mirror and I said, not anymore. And I trained myself. I lost 50 pounds my senior year of high school, trained myself. And that's where I learned the importance of investing in yourself and physical fitness and nutrition. And so like, whether it comes down to speech or fitness or whatever else, it's just a matter of, I've always been a super driven, independent person, and I've never allowed anyone in the world to tell me that I can't do something. And so whether, like, I think they're almost kind of closely related, where like, it's one of those things where like, you get your set of genes, DNA, whatever else, and it's what you choose to do with them. Or you just pick whatever you want to do in the world and say, regardless of what I have received, I know what I'm going to get out of it in the long run. And so I just wake up every day, and I'm a firm believer that my purpose in the world is to give back to others and to just be an entity that when I leave the world, people will remember that I was here. And I think the show and kind of my journey on it has really confirmed the fact that I can make a difference in the lives of others.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you think, and I definitely want to get into the show, but like what's been on the top of my mind as I'm kind of going through my own stuttering journey is like, I feel like me and you share this like passion for life and just like wanting to like do so much and make such a big difference. And I feel like when I think about my stutter, I really think my stutter has been like one of my biggest motivators, because when I was growing up, I always thought like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do everything I want to do because of my stutter. And so I always tried to push myself to not let my stutter get in the way. And so I feel like that has really driven me to like be a go-getter and to sometimes even overcompensate, which can turn into like being, you know, perfection and some stuff like that. But yeah, I'm wondering if that kind of if you kind of have that kind of sense as well.
Very much so. I think that there are so many misconceptions around just kind of like speech and language difficulty and whatever else. And I think that initially, once you start to speak and communicate and like someone else clocks it, they immediately think like, for lack of a better term, we're at a severe handicap, which like, yes, we are. But like, do we like to think about it as a handicap? I'm like, absolutely not. Like, do I need like a specialty parking spot somewhere? Or do I need you to do something else for? Like, no, I'm good. It's just a matter of, it just means that I have to work harder to accomplish the same things that the average person does pretty easily. Introducing themselves, talking about themselves or whatever else. And like, for me, that's why initially I wasn't going to go on the show. People like us tend to want to make a difference and want to like throw ourselves out there. But also when you do it on a national platform, you're like, the internet's going to eat me alive. Why on earth would I and my mental health? And I feel like people like us have spent so long being confident and trying to build that self-worth. Why would we give ourselves a platform for the rest of America to tear us down each and every week, streaming on NBC and Peacock? And you're like, why would I do that? And then in that moment, I remembered my students at school and my clients at the gym. And I thought to myself, the kind of trainer that I am, I always say, you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable because that's how you grow. That's how you learn. That's how you evolve. And so I would feel like a hypocrite getting an offer to do the show and me saying, well, that's uncomfortable. I'm going to not. Because I have not only built a career on it, but I've built a brand. I've built a personality on it. So who would I be if I didn't also put myself in a position where I could learn and grow and evolve?
Yeah. So I'd love to get into the show. First, how did you get on the show? Like, what was that process like?
So auditioning for Deal or No Deal Island, I am one of the lucky ones, but I also want to explain it well. I was recruited for the show on Instagram because I am loud and obnoxious on Instagram. You know this. But anyway, I'm loud and obnoxious on social media. And I was recruited on Instagram, but let me just like, common misconception. You cannot get recruited to be on a reality show. You can get recruited to audition to be on a reality show. So what the casting producers pretty much do is they find people that they love on social media, people that are outspoken, have a real point of view or whatever else. And then they hit you up in the DMs, the messages or whatever else. And they're like, can we give you a call? They give you like a screener call of like 10 to 12 minutes. Tell me about yourself. Tell me like who you are, what you do, so on and so forth. In talking to my casting producer, most of the Instagram recruits end right there. These people that are cultivating this personality and lifestyle and like creating one. And when you talk to them one-on-one, they don't have the energy that they have online. So he said, 80% of the people that he speaks to, he's like, oh, you're just really cool on Instagram. And that's like it. And so I think for me, they were really looking for a personal trainer, a fitness instructor, someone that would be like a physical threat on the game. But the more they spoke to me and I talked about my speech and being a first generation American and being an educator, they were like, oh, we got so much more in this. I was like, okay, cool, great. And so then after that phone call, I had to go back to the website, make the video, fill out the application, and do the same steps that everyone else did. I just got like an extra step at the beginning so that they would kind of push me through a little bit. But then I still had to do 6 rounds of Zoom interviews and all these big, long paperwork things and psychiatric exam. Like, you do not just get recruited to be on a reality show. It's still a 1 to 2 month casting process. And then exclusive, there are alternates. Like when we went to the island, there were 20 of us and then 14 make it on the show. So like you're never done auditioning until you get onto that island.
Wow.
There are people to this day that flew there with us. We never got to like speak or interact, but flew there with us and flew home. Who I will never know their names or their stories or anything
else.
Oh
my God. That's wild. Okay. So, I have so many questions. So you talked a little bit about like being nervous about putting yourself out there. Like once you knew you were going to be on the show, like what was that feeling like?
Different people stutter differently, which again is a common thing that people don't really understand. That I was like, some people are more like conditional. Some people I've even heard and spoken to people that are more like worse in the morning than in the evening, so on and so forth. Like there are so many different ways around it. And so for me, it's really predominant in the first 5 or 10 minutes in any interaction. And so you have to then think back to every reality show ever. That's episode one. All you're doing for the first 48 hours on any reality show is introducing yourself and talking about yourself over and over again for 48 hours, shaking hands, figuring out who you like, who you don't, or whatever else. And I could just think to myself like, oh, you're going to introduce yourself. They're going to see something's wrong with you and say, this man is stupid and we need to get rid of him immediately. And so in my head, I almost had to be like, okay, I have to hope and pray that these people exhibit the kindness and compassion and empathy that I do. Just because of who I am, I have to be like, I need them to be able to look past this and see past this. And if they then want to be like, oh, I don't like that and die at all, sure, great. But I just didn't want them to underestimate me immediately upon meeting. Luckily, I met Parvati day one, who kind of like took me under her wing a little bit. Because I was one of the only ones that like, I clocked her from the airport, like immediately. Like I know enough reality TV that it was like sunglasses, baseball cap, a mask on. It was like eyes and hair. And I was still like, Parvati. So I think it's one of those things where once it almost feels like you know someone, even though you don't know them. And so then like we started to talk immediately day one, and then it all just kind of loosened up a little bit. But every day was a little bit of a struggle. You got to like go through it and be like, there's cameras, there's microphones. You're like, I'm about to look so stupid, but we're going to do it anyway. That's a thing that on reality shows, people don't realize that so much of it is talking and speech and networking and making alliances and making these real relationships, and people have to trust you. And so in turn, if they're spending that long trying to figure out the words that you're saying and how you're trying to speak with them, they will very quickly write off the relationship.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So when you were, when you kind of were like forming a relationship with Parvati, which I'm a huge Survivor fan. So just like seeing you guys interact, I'm a big fan of hers. But did your stutter ever come up? Because as I was watching the show, I didn't really see like stuttering come up at all. And I didn't really see a lot of stuttering on the show. So it made me realize like, oh, are they just editing it out or yeah.
There was a lot of heavy-handed editing. I'll say that, yes. I think that they gave me a really clean edit out of respect for, I think, me and the NBC story. And I think that they knew that I'm going to level with you. The NBC executives, like at the end, were like, you're going to be a fan favorite. You bring a lot of really good humor and energy and whatever else. And I just think like they wanted people to like me. And so I think they cleaned up the edit a lot. But I will say that I think after a while, my nervous system kind of took over because, fun fact, your speech smooths out a lot when you're scared every day for 23 hours a day. Yeah. When your heart rate is just
especially
always high.
Like
you're like, oh, we have other things to worry about.
And the masking can really kick in. I can, yeah. So yeah, I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, I went to the show afraid of heights and water and animals and being outside and all that other stuff. And apparently my fight or flight is smooth out your speech. You have other things to worry about. And I was like, who knew? Okay, cool, great.
Yeah, so how was your relationships with the other contestants over time? Because I know like you can't, there's a lot that gets edited out, but are there people on the show you really bonded with? And like, are you still cool with everyone? Is there any drama? Like spilled the tea.
I talk to 99% of the cast, every single cast member I've spoken to, hung out with, checked in with, everyone except one. So I feel like that's like really good odds considering we come from like 14 different places on Earth. The sheer fact that like I can still maintain relationships with like 12 out of them and one of them is me. So like, okay, cool. So like that's technically not bad at all.
Okay. And how, like I'm a huge Survivor fan. So how was getting to play with like one of the best Survivor players ever? Like how was playing with Parvati and like now that you were like learning about her as an actual person, like what did your perception to change of her as you like got to know her?
So very much like you, I went in and I was like, I'm a fan in the game. Spoiler alert, not a fan. But the thing is, I think that it's so weird because you feel like you know these reality people. And I think that my biggest issue with Parvati on the island, I think is a very easy, understandable issue. She has an ability to turn the player on and the person off. And during the game, she just sees the prize and the win, right? I don't have that ability. So in getting to talk to her off camera, like day one or two or whatever else, and we're like talking about our like childhoods and how we grew up and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I was like made fun of a lot, but I kind of like worked my way out of it and whatever else. And then that was all discussed off camera, like day two, person to person. So when it came into play later in the game to be used as like a move in the game, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I just think that it was so jarring for me because again, as a civilian, very much like you are a civilian, it's weird because people don't throw, for lack of a better, I like hate overusing this word, but people don't like throw trauma at you on a daily basis because you just surround yourself with people who like have the line as far as like what to do, what not to do. And so I think that our relationship on the show, not in real life, like on the show, went sour because I am so emotional and so vulnerable as a person. And she is too, but she knew how to turn on and just be a player. And so when you see her give the confessionals and stuff like that, you're like, who's that woman? Because that's not the person that you're seeing interacting with us on the island. The confessional Parvati that we saw was very much different than the actual person that was interacting with us when we were there.
Yeah, but you and Parvati are are cool now, right?
More than cool. Resolved it on the island. I talk to her every other day. Yes. Totally cool.
Amazing. Like, right. Okay. Yeah, no. I'm happy to hear that.
We're good. Yeah. I've gone out to LA. I've hung out with her in LA since Dr. Will. I went to David's apartment like a month ago and saw his new place and stuff. So like we all hang out, like all good, I swear.
Love it. Okay. And I wanted to talk about you and Mitch because I actually I think it was through an Instagram post is when I learned about you and Mitch sharing like a bond around stuttering and teaching. So yeah, talk to me about your relationship with Mitch when you first met, when you first like found out about each other. And also just wanted to remind everyone, Mitch is a person who stutters competing on the current season of Survivor. So if you want to check out that recap of the latest Survivor episode, just go to our podcast feed and make sure to listen to that. Okay, sorry, Philip, you were saying.
So Mitch and I met after our respective island adventures. We both filmed at the same time. So like we got home back to Austin right around the same time. And so we had never met before, but him and I have a lot of common friends in Austin. So we just happened to be like in the same area and I hit him up on Instagram and I was like, hey, I think we might have something in common and maybe we should meet. And he was like, I guess I'll be at this like bar or restaurant, whatever else. And I went that afternoon and I just met him. And I think that it's kind of interesting because I never would have done that normally, but being on the island, having cameras and microphones follow you around and whatever else, you come back from that experience a completely different person. I am more confident and sure of myself now than I ever have been in all of my years on Earth. So you get to that point where you're like, you know what? I'm going to be like, hey, stranger, do you want to have a drink? And you're like, okay, cool, great. And so we met at a bar. When the picture that I posted on the Instagram post, we've hung out numerous times, more than once, but that photo was the first day we ever actually like met in real life. And I wanted to use that one for a reason. I feel like we look comfortable and we look happy. And I felt like that was the most like genuine photo that shows our relationship. So now we're just kind of like navigating this together at the same time, but it's weird for like people like, I imagine like elementary school me or elementary school you, that I'm like at like two of the big heavy hitter network television channels are doing this at the same time. And that's so significant. And I feel like I wasn't going to say anything until after the seasons were over. And I realized that sometimes we wait till things are over before we learn that they're significant. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let everyone know that this is significant right now. So I did.
Thank you. And now we're here because I probably wouldn't have reached out if I hadn't seen that. So,
and now we're here.
Yeah. I actually just was recording earlier a recap episode of Survivor that I'm starting to do because I wanted to interview Mitch, but I think I can't yet because of Survivor stuff. Yeah. So I'm hoping to get Mitch on the pod in the future. But yeah, I just think this is such a groundbreaking moment for the stuttering community because I think representation on reality TV can really open up a lot of conversation. I think this is a big moment and I'm gonna try to capture this moment as much as possible to try to like get people to really start talking about stuttering more. So if there's other people out there who want maybe to go the reality TV route, like do you have any advice for them who's to stutter?
You can't be afraid to tell your own story. I think that in other experiences, in your head normally, when you're communicating with someone, you have to say like, in your head, I think you go, just ignore it, keep pushing through it. But in an experience like this, you need to be willing to explain it and help other people learn about you. And I think that's kind of one of the things that like really worked to my advantage in the casting process. I talked about what it's like to be an educator of color. I talked about what it was like to check off boxes in a bunch of different marginalized groups in contemporary American society. I talked about speech differences and why my representation is so significant on the show. And again, that's like, I didn't make any of that up, but in getting to say it out loud, I don't think I gave them any other option but to be like, we need him. He told us the reasons why we need him on the show. And so it was, I hate to like throw this into the universe, but like it was a pretty easy process for me because I just spent all of my auditions and rounds and conversations telling them why they needed me. And they said, you're not wrong. Okay. I said that like mathematically, when you look at the people that stutter, when you look at the educators of color, when you look at whatever else, I check off a lot of boxes that haven't been shown yet. And if you look at it mathematically and you take every reality show contestant ever, why hasn't our story been told yet? And when you kind of phrase it like that, you go, the man has a point. Okay. And so it was pretty easy for me, honestly.
Yeah, I love it. And your energy is just so contagious. So I'm sure that was a big part too. So, what's next for you? Like, do you want to do more reality TV? Like what's next?
I am waiting for calls. The challenge traders, whatever it is, give me a call. I'll come. I will pack a bag and leave tomorrow. I'm ready. But I think in the meantime, I'm going to really continue to build my training business. I want to really build my motivational speaking business. I think that it's really something that I do well. It's something that I take pride in. You can see kind of glimmers of it in the show, but there were so many conversations that you didn't see where like people were having a rough day, a rough time. And I sat down with them and did it like one-on-one. And I was like, hey, stop. Look at me. Remember why you're here in this moment. Why did you show up? And then like, I would just kind of talk them through it. And that's really kind of what my passion is, being a life coach and being a motivational speaker and like just kind of helping people do the things that I don't think I give people superpowers. I think I remind them of the superpowers they already have. And I think that everyone needs a hype man and someone to just remind them that they're strong and they're powerful and capable of whatever they would like to do.
Awesome. Who are you rooting for to win?
I think at this point in my journey, I would be rooting for Letty to win. I think that she's played a strong game as a civilian. And what the viewers don't really understand is that the civilians are at a severe disadvantage. Severe. Not only just because we're not used to like cameras and microphones and whatever else, but the idea that like when we get the rules of a challenge or excursion, in our head, we're thinking about, okay, how can we win this excursion? If you go back and listen to the confessionals, David, Parvati, Dr. Will, they're thinking about the loopholes. Even Boston Rob in season one did a million things that made people be like, are we allowed to do that? And so like, it's one of those where like, they just think differently. If you go back to episode one and David at the zip line, he stays up top to see what briefcase we all pull so he knows who has the highest one. We were not thinking like that at all. It was excursion number one. We had known each other for 8 minutes. Our goal, not die in the water. Those were our goals. Whereas he had already been on TV for so long. He's like, oh, I just have to wait up here. They didn't say that there was a limit for how long I could wait. So I'm going to wait here and see who has the highest one. We weren't thinking like that. We weren't operating like that. I was like, get this case. Jump in the water, don't die. That's it. And so I think like we're at a severe disadvantage. And so on the civilian end, I think Letty has probably played the strongest, most above ground game to do well and still be like a good person.
Okay. There's a lot of rules. Like this is my first time and I'm just like, it took me a while.
It's exhausting. Yeah, I'm like, it's the worst.
I'm like Survivor, like I feel like Survivor is pretty easy to like follow if you're a first time viewer, but even Survivor's innovating and has new rules and stuff. But like, yeah, so that it took me, it was a learning curve, but you know, I got there and
I'm glad that you got there because we didn't. So there were, okay. I'm going to also give you this steaming hot tea. I didn't know how the hammock challenge actually worked. I didn't know. So like you see me be surprised when I lose because I literally didn't know how to win or lose. I didn't know. And then that's why I think you watch all of us go up there and just go, so do you want it or should I take it? Like that was not how the game was supposed to work. But none of us actually did the game correctly. And so like it was, I think after that they were like, okay, we have to explain these differently. So it was after that you saw that like they started to make a lot more sense where it was like, it's a race, run. And you're like, cool, great, I got it. But like it was a little overcomplicated at the beginning. And then because even after excursion number one, when Luke, David, and Seychelles were on the losing team, we didn't know that one of them had to go home. We thought like we were all eligible, but like one of them, like we still didn't really understand who could go home and who could. Trust me, you're confused at home. We're confused over there. So I'm with you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't have to feel as bad, like not understanding it right away. But yeah, my last question is about your final moments on the show. I think you went out like the hardest because you had no control over like someone like picked you right to mm-hmm. leave, and it wasn't something like you were against a banker or like it was, you know, like, so what was that like for you? Like you really made it far. Like you made it far. Like you made it super far. So like how do you feel about the whole journey and the way you like
my exit speech is exactly how I feel right now. Even watching it back, I thought I was going to be more upset by it all. And even as a reality TV viewer, I was like, even though it's me, I was like, that man played a good game. He's a nice guy. I'll take that. Because I think that if I would have played when I was 25, 27 or whatever else, I might've been angry. My head might've spun all the way around. But at this point in my life, I have to look at it and be like, I did so many cool things and so many scary things. And what a lot of people don't realize is if the player of the final game goes on to like win every challenge and play the final game, they might open their brief case at the very end and it might have $25 in it. So for me, getting to leave with 75 grand, I'm like, guys, I might have won the season. Who knows? If whoever plays at the end opens that and it says $25, I won the season. So I know it feels like I gave up $10 million. If it was just a prize of $10 million, I would have been moving and reacting in a different way. But what I did put in jeopardy was my ability to get the opportunity to potentially play for $10 million. To get that $10 million, not only would I have to be the last one, then I'd have to play the banker, then I'd have to win, then I'd have to hope that in the one briefcase that I chose is $10 million. All of that would have to happen for me to actually win that amount. So if given the opportunity to be like, how about less money, but we guarantee that it's yours, I'll take that deal.
Love that. And have you gotten paid yet?
I have not. So it's like a big television rule that you actually don't get any money or prizes until the episode airs. And that goes for us, Survivor, even Family Feud. Don't forget the lyrics. Like they wait, like, so you shoot it. You wait like half a year. The episode has to air for them to even like issue any money, prizes, anything.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's still so much mystery around reality TV that, you know, that I'd love to dig into more. But I think that was amazing. Like, thank you so much for being on Proud Stutter and being such a great role model for all of us. Like, I'm so happy to know you now. And yeah, just thank you so much.
I think that it would be a missed opportunity for me if I didn't let you know that also your voice is so important and what you're doing is so significant that, like, I know you're like, why does he want to come on and talk to me? At the same way that I'm like, why does she want to talk to me? Because she's doing so much more in the world than I am. I'm just like having a vacation on an island. So please understand, although we are fighting the good fight in two very different ways, your role is so important and significant. So I do also want to thank you for your time and energy. And it means so much to all of us.
Oh, thank you. And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.